Welcome to the Gaming Duo, where friendships are built through gaming. We're your hosts, Rob and Kelvin, and if you are joining us for the first time, first off, thank you for tuning in. We are the podcast that keeps you, the gamers, up to date on the latest news and speculation about the gaming industry. What's up, Kelv? Going on?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good. We doing things, man. Let's keep it
also,
short.
Also, is it raining over there?
It's pouring, right? Been pissing.
It's just pissing, yeah.
Just peeing all over me, you know? So
I enjoy this type of weather.
You like getting pissed on?
I love getting pissed on, dude. It's just a nice feeling, you know? Like, when you just have, like, you know it's going to be a cloudy, rainy day. It's like, okay, like, I kind of want to stay home. I can't, but I kind of do. Like, it's just
3 days straight, though? For 3 days straight?
Like a nice, calm video game, like, day, like, session, you know?
That's just not when you have to, like, go out in it and you got to walk dogs in it. That shit sucks. So, I don't know. That's just me. I don't really like the rain. Only sometimes, like, on a Saturday morning or something. That's when it's, like good. When you can actually enjoy it, you know?
I don't like that because usually Saturdays I want to mow the lawn. And if it's raining, that just fucks up the whole entire
lawn. That's true. I remember that's the one you got to, like, you know, when you have a lawn, you have to, like, actually, like, sync up, like, okay, I have an hour window to get in there and mow it. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
God forbid your neighbor mows the lawn first. That gives me pressure, you know? Now I'm like, fuck, I have to mow the lawn today. Like, I wasn't planning on to, but now I have to because this motherfucker decides to mow the lawn. So now I have to.
As soon as the first person in the neighborhood starts mowing their lawn,
everybody just comes out with their lawnmower.
You're like, well, I should start doing it now too, huh? But who's going to be that
Why
person?
Why is that? That's such a weird, I don't know.
It's like, you're like, well, it might be like, well, if your lawn is going to look good, mine's going to look good too, you know?
Like competition, maybe. Like, you know, you can't have the best lawn out here.
I guess you just want to look like a slob, you know, maybe it reminds you. I don't know. Anyways, enough about lawns. This is a gaming podcast, not a landscaping podcast. I wonder if there is a landscaping podcast. There's got to be. There's a podcast for everything.
It has to be, man. Has to be.
Tell me about what you're playing. Is there anything other than Final Fantasy you're playing?
Persona 3. That's it. Just chipping away at those two games, little by little. It's going to take me at least a year.
Yep. And it's like a lengthy game as well. So have fun with that. I'm 100% going to beat Final Fantasy first before I get to Persona. So,
it's so fucked up, dude.
Two ridiculous RPGs.
They're just stacked on top of each other. Like, fuck you guys. Like, hey, you know what? Here you go. Enjoy.
Right. What was I going to ask you? Oh, so you've been playing on your Ally remote play. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Does that make you want a PS Portal less or more, the fact that you're actually using remote play now?
Excellent question. I think the last two sessions I've had with my Ally playing Final Fantasy Rebirth has made me lessen the excitement for a portal, simply because I think my internet is just ass. It's just trash. And I don't think the portal will do it justice regardless, because if I'm having issues right now, and granted, this is like a third party kind of like software that we're using and it's trying to connect to your PS5. I don't know if it would be any different if I had a portal, but it just doesn't. It's not the same experience, obviously, right? You're playing on a handheld. And again, like I mentioned yesterday, the experience is a little choppy. The experience is like you're starting to see the pixels. Sometimes you have to like pause the game, stop the game for you to kind of like revert, like, you know, so that the pixels kind of like catch up or whatever, right? The frames catch up. And so it's definitely not as smooth and clean as playing on your TV, you know? So will it change my experience if I bought the portal and play there? Probably not. I think it'd kind of be the same situation. So I think you made the best move there, where you're like, how about you try it on your Ally first before jumping into a portal and seeing how, like, you already have a handheld that can potentially, you know, you can actually use it and try it out for yourself. So try it out there first before actually spending $200.
Right. And I feel like you'd be pissed if you dropped the 250. How much is it? 200 or 250? I think it's 200.
250, I think.
Yeah. I think you'd be pissed if you spend that much money and then you went to go play and it was choppy. You'd be annoyed. You'd be like, wow. Like, you'd just be,
I think, annoyed. The next move I would do, if that was the case, I would change internet.
You just go to the guy.
I would just go to a different internet company.
Provider. Yeah, you got like two. Just, you got two there, yeah. Right? It's like Cox or what's the other one? Infinity?
No, I don't have Cox. I have Xfinity and
Comcast, or the same company. They're same company, I think.
It's the same company. What is it called? Starts with F. I don't remember. But
I don't know. I don't know what the other ones are.
Regardless, yeah, it's the other one that I'm going to try and see. I've heard good things about it. I've heard it was bad in the beginning, but they've gotten way better. So that's my next move, if that was the case. And actually, that might be my move regardless. Like, I might actually switch soon, just because they have, like, the fiber optic, like, whatever.
Right. Too bad we don't have Google Fiber. That'd be sick. Yeah. But it's, like, very, very hard to get. So, but I have Fios. Fios is the next best thing, I think.
Great things, and you just rave about it all the time. So
it's ridiculous.
That doesn't deter my experience from the game, because the game is amazing, and it actually makes me want to play downstairs more often, because I want to experience it to the fullest, you know. But it is more convenient, obviously, playing on my bed at night. So yep. I kind of suck it up sometimes, just like, you know what, I'm just gonna play this pixely ass game.
Yep. Pixely ass game I'm gonna play.
Yep.
So but enough about what we're playing. Let us talk about the gaming news. It is time for the Daily Duo Report. The Daily Duo.
Oh, that was nice. I like that.
I'm done. That was good. All right. First thing on the Daily Duo, we have the Xbox partner preview that happened today/yesterday. We got a couple of things here. I'm going to run through them. Final Fantasy 14 Xbox Series X release is coming. It's March 21st. So we're actually getting Final Fantasy 14 for Xbox, which is really cool. We're going to talk about more Final Fantasy on Xbox on our other news topic. But you're going to get access to a starter edition if you have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate from March 21st through April 19th. And there's now an open beta available now on Xbox Series X. So go ahead. I don't know anyone. I know one person has a Series X. One person, maybe two.
Really? Okay.
So, yeah. I know two people that have it. We saw Capcom's Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess. That's also coming to Game Pass later this year. It is a action strategy game inspired by Japanese mythology. What did you think of this game real quick? Is something catch you?
Yeah, that was, I think, the last game that they showed.
The last game showed, yeah.
It looks interesting. We've seen this before. I'm intrigued. I don't know how intrigued I'm going to be, but it looks interesting. So I just kind of want to see a little bit more, just to kind of get a little bit more, you know, but it looks cool. You know, it has like that nice inspired Japanese mythology, like it said there. So it is very eye appealing, right? It's captivating. It kind of catches your eye for sure. So it just kind of depends on how the gameplay is, right? From what we're seeing right now, it looks kind of like action adventure. You're roaming around, just kind of hacking away at enemies. So, you know, it looks fun. It just how much fun is
the question. It looks flashy too, which I like. I like the colors of the game. Mm-hmm. So we also have a new reveal of Sinking City 2. It's a survival horror game from Frogwares. It's coming to 2025 on all platforms. We had the Stalker trilogy. It got Shadow Drops, so it's available now. So that's really cool. We love Shadow Drops. I've never personally played the Shadow or the Stalker series, but people love them. We also have a reveal for the creators of Ava. This was a creature collecting adventure. Basically, I don't want to say Pokemon clone, but, you know, a Pokemon kind of game.
It's not even a Pokemon clone. It's a Power World
clone. It's a Power World clone. It's Power World. Now we're going to say that. Right. So that was good. We got a reveal for Unknown Nine Awakening. It's made by Bandai Namco and Reflector Entertainment. It is a third person action adventure. Born with the ability to venture into the fold, a mysterious dimension that overlaps her own, Haruna's power draw the attention of the Ascendants, a secret society that uses the fold to alter the course of human history. Huh. Crazy. A couple other things here. Okay. This one you said was the worst game, I think, was the Chucky Comes to Roblox.
Terrible. I hated every second of watching it, dude.
It looks so bad. I'm gonna be honest. Like, usually say like it looked like a PS2 game. Like, it was so awful. You're like, what is this? What? And we were like watching in 2x speed earlier, and we're like, oh my god.
People play Roblox, you know, and I get it, but like, it's just, you're just as bad as people that play Minecraft. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
Oh my god. We have Sleight of Hand. It's a third person stealth action deck builder building in 2025. The Altars, it was an emotional sci-fi game. And then we saw Tales of Kinzera, Zau. This was the Metroidvania style action adventure game releasing April 23rd. So this reminded me of Prince of Persia with Ori and the Will Whisperer and the Blind Forest. So what did you think of that game? Did it get you, or you were kind of like, it's fine?
It was cool.
I like the side scrollers are coming back.
Yeah, side scrollers are making a comeback, and I feel like they've been here for a minute, but they've been doing a decent job. It reminds me of the Prince of Persia game that just came out. Double Crowns or Crown something.
The Crown Prince.
Yeah, something like that. It reminds me of that, and that's not a bad thing. You know, that's good. But yeah, I mean, it looks cool. It looks interesting. So it's another one of those where I kind of hope. I don't know if it's coming to Game Pass or not. I don't think so. Day one, but it would be one of those games where I would check out if it's a Game Pass title.
Exactly. That was well said. And then we have the first look at Berserker. It is the anime Souls-like game that looked pretty interesting. Again, something that I don't know if I would pick up day one, but if it's on Game Pass, you have my attention. You have my attention. And for then. Sure. We're going to talk about Persona. Persona's getting an expansion pass, Persona 3 Reload. We're getting new costumes, music, an extended story with Episode Aegis, The Answer. So we are finally getting the additional storyline that was from the P3 portable way back in the day. That's usually what happens all the time with Persona games. You play the main game, and then after you beat it, you're like, we're going to add more. We're gonna
how
add
much
like,
more is my question. I don't know if you know the answer to that, but how big is this expansion?
I'm not 100% sure because I never beat the game, the old one, but I'm thankful it's just an expansion and not the game again, because that drives me nuts when they do that. I hate when they like, I don't want to play through the majority of the story just to get like 20 hours difference. Like, because I played the first one, I kind of got like snubbed because I'm not playing the newest version. I'm like, come on, guys. I already put the work in. So
this is why I love the route that they're taking this, at least, right? Because I was afraid that they would remake the game again, call it something else, and just add the this expansion right here on top of that. So I'm hoping this is their path moving forward, right? Persona 6, I'm sure they're going to do the same thing, but I'm hoping that they release some type of expansion in the future once that game is out and you're not having to purchase the game again, except, you know, now you have 80 more hours on top of the 80 hours that you already finished. Like, that to me is insane. So this is the move, and I hope they keep it this way.
Yeah, that was the only thing that sucked. I started Persona 5 Royal a couple months ago or last year. Yeah. And I was just like, I'm just doing the same thing I was doing it last time. I'm just doing the same things. I'm like, I don't see the new content yet. So I get it.
And one of our issues, I guess we talked about it off screen, but like Persona, and we forget, right? Persona is a very tedious kind of like, hey, you're doing the same thing over and over until you get to the like juicy and like interesting parts, right? And so if you're doing that again, right, it doesn't matter how great this game is, how amazing we love this game, you're falling into that same kind of, you know, monotony of like, hey, we're doing this, doing this again. So yeah, it gets tedious. So
with the partner preview, out of what grade you given it? Obviously it was something that was kind of came out of nowhere, and this is the first time Xbox is doing something like this. So what are you giving it out of A, B, D, A, B, C, or D?
I think it was decent. I think it had a lot of, for 30 minutes, it had a lot to show, you know? And I wouldn't think, I don't think this is the best. I'm trying to remember what their last preview, partner preview was, and I don't recall what was shown or when that was. But yeah, I think this is a pretty decent reveal. It had a lot of cool stuff in here. Persona 3 caught me off guard. That was pretty cool. Had a few reveals as well. So overall, I would give this like a C, maybe, just because of the content that it had.
Okay.
Nothing really strikes me as like, holy shit, like this is great. Oh, that I'm going to check that out. Oh, I'm going to grab that. Like none of that. But there were one or two like, hey, I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, I definitely give it like a B or B minus just because it showed us games. There was a shadow drop here and there, right? And it gave us more insight on some stuff that's coming out on the Xbox side of things. So I enjoyed it for what it was. So Yeah. Let's talk about the next piece of news. Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth is planned to be a Sony exclusive for this foreseeable future. According to the Washington Post, securing Remake and Rebirth as a console exclusive is a feather in PlayStation's cap. It's part of recognizing the original game's importance as defining game for the PlayStation experience, said Christian Swevson, vice president of second and third party content ventures and strategic initiatives at Sony Interactive Entertainment, SIE. Is that his actual title?
I want to see his name badge. Holy shit.
Vice president of second and third party content ventures and strategic initiatives. Oh my God. Okay. That's, they made mouthful. That one up. Clarification came later that the third game has not been confirmed as a Sony exclusive yet. So they confirmed that Remake and Rebirth are, but they don't know if the trilogy is going to be part of that. So the entire Final Fantasy VII trilogy is not yet confirmed to be a Sony exclusive. The author of the Washington Post article now said it was only amended to only mention Remake and Rebirth. So
obviously, right? Obviously, they're not going to mention, hey, the third game that we haven't even announced yet, which we know is coming, is also a Sony, like, obviously, right? So I think this is just paving that way. Yes, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. The third iteration of Final Fantasy VII will be PlayStation exclusive. I'm just saying.
I don't know if it necessarily will be.
You don't think so?
Because I have a feeling what they're going to do is they're going to say like, hey guys, we have the third one. Do you want to play all of them? And then they're going to just give it to Xbox. They're going to bundle it and give it to Xbox. I would imagine. Okay, think of it this way.
Read again what you just said. It's part of recognizing the original game's importance as a defining game for PlayStation experience. To me, right, that right there is like, we want to keep this as a PlayStation title to kind of recognize that original game as being a PlayStation game.
But what about the money?
Oh, for sure. I know. But why would they say that? I mean, things change, obviously, right? Things can change. Right. And this game isn't coming out for another 3-4 years tops, right? So I think it's still going to be Sony exclusive, and then it's going to be ported to PC.
But that's probably what's going to happen. I don't
think it's coming to Xbox, yeah.
And then a year later, they're going to come out with the definitive super-duper version where it comes with all three games, and it comes with the DLC. And by the way, we are probably going to get a DLC for Rebirth at some point, just like they did Intergrade for Remake.
Makes sense, Yuffie. Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. You know, it'd be really cool. Actually, it doesn't make sense chronologically. So I was going to say, if they made Dirge of Cerberus, like, as like the DLC, like you play as Vincent and like see his story. Ooh. That would be really cool.
It doesn't have to be
Dirge Cerberus, but like maybe like his, like what happened just to like him.
That would be really cool. I dig that. I like that. That would be sweet.
So we'll see. Let's
How long was the DLC for Remake? It was like 3 hours, right? Something like that.
I want to say 5 to 10 hours tops.
Really? I don't recall 10 hours.
I think Intergrade is 5 hours. You can check me on that, but I think Intergrade is 5 hours. Double check on me. Anyways, let's take a break. By the way, if you're enjoying this episode, please rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcast. Please drop a review and remember to follow us on all social media platforms to stay up to date on all the fun stuff that we're doing. Be part of the Gaming Duo community by joining our Discord server, where friendships are truly built through gaming. Let's get back to the news. Real quick, Capcom is increasing its starting salary in Japan by more than 25%. That is great. I love that for Capcom. Good guy Capcom's coming in. And I think they said that like every people are, if you're like, if you've been with the company, you're going to get like a bonus, basically. Like you're going to get a huge like bonus to accommodate the 25%. So
shout outs to Capcom. They've just ever since, and this is, I recall Resident Evil 6 just like being their downfall. I'm like, man, there's no way this company can come up back up. Look at them now. Like they've been just killing it for the past several years now. Ever since I mean, Monster Hunter World, was it? They just like shot back up.
Yeah, they're just killing it. And they're doing the Resident Evil remakes are really, you know, they took the time to really think those through and reimagine them. And like I said, like they're all commercial successes. They are a very polished company and they know what they're doing. So
they don't know what they're doing. Don't give them that much credit because they still haven't released Mega Man Legends.
Okay. In any sense.
So I don't go that far.
Okay. All right. And then Helldiver CEO says it's not being acquired by Sony. So there's a lot of reports saying that Helldivers was going to be a part of Sony, but it's not happening. So they are remaining independent of them.
Also, Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrated is about 5 hours long.
Thank you, sir. I knew it was like 5-10. I didn't think it was 3 because 3 hours is very, very.
I knew if it was 10 hours, I'm like, I don't think I would have beaten it.
Also, yeah. I think it was like $30. I think it was $30 or $40 when it came out. So I'm like,
I
if it was
40,
because I'm like, yo, you can't charge $40 for 5 hours. Like, stop it. Or for 3 hours. Like, you're insane. I mean, they could look at what's the game coming out? Hellblade.
So, yeah,
I have to stop.
It says the DLC was $20.
Really? Is it? Okay, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was wrong. Last piece of news here. Kelv, do you want to take us through this one?
Sony announces Ghost of Tsushima director's cut.
Ghost of Tsushima.
In development at Nix's in collaboration with original creator Sucker Punch Productions, the game will be released on May 16th via Steam and Epic Game Store. Originally released for PS4 in July of 2020, the open-world adventure game is set during the Mongol invasion of Japan in 1274. Never played this game. Heard great things about it. Love how much love this game has. You know, like how much, like everyone just kind of keeps talking about this game ever since, you know, the release of 2020. So I'm excited to see this coming to PC. I still won't play it on PC, but it's nice to see that. And I like the initiative that Sony is doing in pushing these games over to PC and kind of giving another audience another breath of fresh air for the titles as well to be played.
Yeah, I played this game, I want to say a year or two ago, and I started up. I'm like, this game is beautiful. Oh,
this
my God. The first like intro, the intro scene is amazing. It's captivating. Yeah, yeah. And I kept playing a little bit. As soon as the world started opening up, I was like, we're not doing this. And then I couldn't do it. It was getting too much. And I was like, and then I think something else came out and I was like, I'm going to play this instead. But the game's amazing. And I do want to go back to it one day, but I have to be in a certain mood for the big ass open world that it is. You know,
it came in the era where every game was open world. Like every game was just trying to do that, was trying to push that agenda of like, hey, let's create this open world, you know, experience, have like 80 plus hours, have people engaged, have people, you know, just dive into these games for X amount of hours. And I was staying away from open world games, especially during that time, because I'm like, this is way too much. We had Assassin's Creed, we had Ghost of Tsushima, we had all these titles just like, you know, making these huge huge like environments. And I'm like, you know what? I'm all set.
Yeah. I'm glad that, like, I mean, look at Final Fantasy Rebirth. I haven't even gotten out of the first level yet. I'm still in the grasslands, just trying to complete everything and then I'll move on. So, but I guess that's a good thing, right? It's like, if you do an open world and you like are still like, you just want to complete everything, that means you're doing something right. Right. So Yeah, guys, that's going to wrap it up for today's news. We'll see you guys tomorrow for our last day of news. Thank you for your support. Please go to gamingduopod.com and check out our merch. And we would like if you guys could leave a review. We really do appreciate that. That would help us immensely. So anything else, Kel, before we go?
Check us out very soon at PAX, right? I mean, we haven't really discussed that much about it, but we're going to PAX, guys. We are going to be putting in a lot of effort and content there. So make sure you check us out. And if you are there, if you are going to PAX, say hello.
Let us know. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Adios.